The Peace of Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world, and am free. The Peace of Wild Things. From a poet, Wendell Berry, who spent most of his life, I think, in Kentucky. He's a farmer. Spent most of his life close to the earth, close to the wild things that he writes about. Most of his poetry. He's a poet and a farmer. What a great combination. You read some of the poets of the Bible, like Isaiah, and you think, these guys were the same way. They were close to the earth. They were both poets and farmers or agrarian people. Maybe they were shepherds or they worked the land. Maybe they were kept a vineyard, whatever. They were very close to the land. So as we think about preparing for Christmas, and we look at this nativity that's slowly building. Last week it was completely empty. And this week, there are a few animals around. We wonder about the place of animal. By the way, a side note, I walked in here one night this week in the sanctuary, and there was a guy crouched in the corner back there, a bearded guy. He's still there. Scared the bejesus out of me. I walked in here, and there was a guy crouched in the corner. It was like, it has a great effect on Sunday morning, but you come in here and some night during the week. Good luck. I digress. The Peace of Wild Things. When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. When it comes time to prepare your funeral, your family is probably going to turn to words something like this. It'll probably be Psalm 23 or some other scripture that takes you out of this place and into the world. There's something about this, the world, the natural world, that touches people in ways that sanctuaries and candles, as beautiful as they are, don't. They just miss the mark. Am I right about this? Or? I mean, I'm probably talking to the wrong crowd because you come to church every Sunday morning. You come expecting to find God in church and in some experience at church. Most people don't do that. You wonder why 30 million people have left church in the last 50 years. And they're not just leaving theoretical churches, by the way. Look around. They've left our church, haven't they? It's because they don't find God here. Is that surprising to you? Maybe a little. But when I ask you where you find God, you might be surprised that a lot of your stories have to do with the garden or seafoam or, serving the poor in Mexico or in India or in Haiti. Most of you also experience God outside of this building. Now, some of my most powerful memories are, you know, being in here, candlelight, a darkened sanctuary, silence, gathering, you know, communal gathering. I think we come to church to find people, but most people go outside to find God. Maybe that's a true statement. That's what I thought happened after 9/11. I know this church is probably filled on that Friday following 9/11. I was in a church full of people on that Friday following 9/11. I think people came to church that day to find each other and to wrestle with what happened and to ask questions. And some of them were struggling with God and maybe expecting God to do something or provide a sense of peace. But for the most part, they didn't show up to church that day looking for God. They showed up there looking for each other. And we found each other, thankfully. That was a good thing. But what I'm saying is there's a special place in the world for God's presence that buildings and sanctuaries and structures of our culture and our world are lacking. And it's why I think the animals get Christmas. It's because of the peace of wild things. Right? Why wasn't God born in the temple? If the temple is where God lives on earth, and that's what the Jews thought and believed with all of their heart, and that's why they still fight for that little piece of land where the temple once stood. It's because that is where God's home is on earth. Well, wouldn't you be born at home if you were God? Where was God born? In a barn. Have you ever said to somebody, were you born in a barn or what? I wonder if anyone ever said that to Jesus. I would have loved to have been there. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I was. Why was Jesus born in a barn?
Better than outside.
A little better than outside, but not much. It probably smelled better outside. Yeah. You can start at the bottom. I think God appears in the least expected places, and sometimes the places of the temple or the places of power or where we think our help might come from, and we're always looking in the wrong place usually as far as that goes. There was a line in the reading that they did with the Advent candle. This came from Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible. It's just called The Message. And it's just kind of an interesting contemporary language that he takes. He does a really good job, a pretty honest job of just trying to, just kind of contemporary, give the idea of the scripture. It's not a translation of the Bible, it's a paraphrase, so it's his own words. But he says, each morning, he's talking about this, the Savior that's going to come and set things right. Each morning he'll put on sturdy work clothes and boots and build righteousness and faithfulness in the land. He's going to put on some work clothes, like a kid who was born in a barn. And it reminded me of a quote Thomas Edison once said, that most people miss opportunity because it comes dressed in overalls and looks like work. Most people miss opportunity because it comes dressed in overalls and looks like work. And I wonder if most people miss the Prince of Peace because he was born in a barn. Comes dressed in shepherd's clothes, and he looks like one of us. And I wonder if we miss, you know, I could take that word, since the word for the day is not opportunity, our word for the day is peace. I wonder if we might even say the same thing, that most people miss peace because it comes dressed in plain clothes and it looks like work. And it is. It is. Which is why our greatest hope for peace is this peasant who was born in a barn. Close to the peace of wild things. And why, when you really want to be reminded about what's important and where to orient your life, you might want to look at your dog every once in a while, or your cat. Right? Have you ever had that experience of You know, it's like they get it. There's something about it. One more line of that poem that really struck me. They do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. What does that mean? They don't borrow trouble. They don't make worries about the future. You've heard a lot of things about worrying and praying. If you worry, you don't pray. If you pray, you don't worry. The one that really made sense to me recently was someone said, worrying is like praying for what you don't want. Why would you do that? Well, I don't want, you know, I think about the future. Well, I don't want to be poor, and I don't want to be hungry, and I don't want, you know, and so like, it's like I'm bringing all those thoughts to mind, and it's like praying for what you don't want. And I wonder if working for peace, we can take a cue from the animals and not give so much foresight to grief and what we don't want, but to be open, widely open, to the grace of God in all.